Thanks for listening to the Lakers Fast Break Podcast, part of the Hoopheads Podcast Network. Check out all their awesome basketball shows today at hoopheadspod.com. And we're back with another episode of the Lakers Fast Break Podcast. It's Gerald Glasser coming right back at you here from Lakers Fast Break, Pop Culture Cosmos, Game Source, and of course, Inside Sports Fantasy Football. We truly appreciate each and every one of you listening to all of our great shows. And if you can, please give us that 5-star review wherever you get your podcasts. Plus, if you can like, share, subscribe, please go ahead. If you see Joe right now on the screen on YouTube, please, if you see that button right below Joe, it's the subscribe button. Go ahead. Don't be afraid. Go and hit that button. Subscribe today. And there's actually been a few who has in the past couple days, and we truly appreciate it. So if you can like, share, subscribe, follow, or do anything that you can to support us right here at the Lakers Fast Break, Pop Culture Cosmos, where we cover the latest news and trends in pop culture every single day of the week, right here at the Pop Culture Cosmos, Game Source, Inside Sports Fantasy Football, which we're bringing back here in the not-too-distant future because it's almost football season once again. Plus, our good friends at LakersBall.com, please go ahead and be part of the conversation and all the great groups. You know that Ox 1947 is always lurking around today at LakersBall.com. Plus, our good friends at Lakerholics.com, go ahead and check out Jamie Sweet's 5 Things articles, Laker Tom's latest articles today at Lakerholics.com. Plus, our good friends at the Hoopheads Podcast Network, who do a great job covering the NBA in and of itself. It is sincerely appreciated. Before we go into the main event for this week, this group chat per se, this episode, I want to go ahead and pay our respects to a warrior who provided the Boston Celtics a great amount of pleasure and a great amount of joy, an individual who is considered by many to be one of the greatest defensive players in the history of basketball, one of the greatest players, period, in the history of basketball. Unfortunately, he passed away today. That is Bill Russell, passed away today at the age of 88. We do actually, as a courtesy and a respect to everything that he brought to the game of the NBA, even though he was for the rival Boston Celtics, I do want to make sure that it is known from all of us here at the Lakers Fast Break that we do pay homage and respect to him and condolences to his family indeed in regards to his passing. There will not be many more like Bill Russell because of the greatness that he achieved both on and off the court. And again, all of our respects to him, the Boston Celtics organization, and of course his family right here from all of us at the Lakers Fast Break. But it is the big time indeed. I want to go ahead and make sure everybody knows this week that it is important for so many reasons, even in a news cycle that's kind of dry. This is going to be another important news week, and you're going to hear the tension build up as it gets closer and closer to August 4th, because LeBron James has possibly an extension waiting for him. Should the Lakers give him one? Will he take it? Will the situation with Russell Westbrook be the reason why he might turn that down? Everything that's going on, the questions are abound, but yes, he will be eligible for an extension if offered on August the 4th. And here today to talk about that, and I'm sure share some thoughts as well on Bill Russell. He's a good man indeed. You got to go ahead and check him out today at LakersBall.com. It is Ox 1947, the man himself, Joe Soro. Joe, great to have you here, my friend. Thank you so much for joining me, as always. The Nighthawks, not quite a Nighthawks episode per se. It's supposed to be our group chat, but in place of that, I know you've got some good thoughts about Bill Russell and, of course, LeBron James later this week. If or if not, he should accept or even get an extension from the Los Angeles Lakers.
I had not seen this video. It was kind of like almost like the cameraman was just, he had a wide shot of Bill Russell and Kobe Bryant talking. Mm-hmm. And Bill Russell was just praising Kobe right there to him, up and down. And they ended up coming to a similar discussion in that Kobe had said, "I got that from you because I read your book." And I thought that was kind of cool. And Bill Russell followed that with praise beyond praise. And Kobe was just sitting there thanking him for a good 5 seconds. And it was a very, 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 very heartwarming 5 to 10 seconds. It was just, what can you say? Bill Russell, the one of the four Mount Rushmore players, complimenting, unfortunately, someone who's not with us anymore for his amazing ability to not just play basketball, but there was a lot of admiration by Bill Russell. You saw Bill Russell wearing a Laker jersey with Kobe's number on it, and coming from a Celtic, that is a very, very high praise. And we've seen that before. We saw Magic do a little prank on Larry Bird by wearing Larry Bird's jersey during Larry's retirement ceremony. It's a celebration for this one, JG. He lived 88 years and did more in 88 years than some people do, than thousands of people living till they're 100.
Yeah.
So this should be a celebration. It's sad. It's always sad when someone's gone forever, but it is a celebration of as good of a life as I've seen from where we're sitting. And it's going to be, I don't know about this season. This 2022 has been kind of weird in that a lot of like true legends, I think that word gets thrown out a lot, but we've been losing a lot of Paul Sorvino, James Caan, Ray Liotta, Bill Russell, and there's many more. It's just, we're in this, I guess I'm 44 and I'm in that area now where I'm probably going to start seeing a lot of the people that I admire on TV and sports and in entertainment start to check out. And that's a bummer. That's a bummer for me because I feel like my childhood is slowly kind of going away. I used to feel like that when wrestlers would pass away in the 2000s, especially maybe late 90s. It was weird because I remember those guys growing up, and now this next phase is what's doing that.
It's definitely something, again, that we need to pay homage to and respect to the late Bill Russell, everything that he did for the game of basketball. It is truly appreciated by any basketball fan, whether or not you like the Celtics or don't like the Celtics. And of course, we here at the Lakers Fast Break don't like the Celtics, but we do have a healthy respect for the team. I mean, you don't get 17 world championships for nothing. So we got to go ahead and give them their props. And a lot of those, in fact, 11 of those were really, really off the hard work that was made by Bill Russell. So definitely respect to him and his family indeed. But my friend, it is a big week for the Los Angeles Lakers. It never seems to stop as far as the news cycle is concerned. The tension is mounting each and every day as it gets closer and closer to August the 4th. And that's the first period of time where the Lakers can go ahead and offer LeBron James an extension. I know you shared your thoughts on the last program in kind of detail, but have you had maybe a second chance to think about things as far as what the Lakers may do? I'm pretty sure the Lakers will at least offer him an extension. What I am more concerned of is if he doesn't accept it, if it is offered.
I have no doubt they're going to offer him the extension. If it's not solely based off basketball, it's probably based off the fact that it's LeBron James who's the generational era player, the number one of this era. And he still has some legs. He seems to be a Tom Brady of basketball at this moment. We really don't know. We really don't know when he'll slow down. If a player is averaging 25 to 30 points a game in this era, especially with the young stallions that are breeding right now, then how does he decide to stop? How do the Lakers gauge that? They can't really, unless they decide that, you know what, there might be some value here at this moment. We could get something for him. He might still have another year or two, but maybe we can get some value back and kind of start the transition to AD now. But then again, AD is also kind of a question mark. So you don't know there either. And it might have been an easier decision had AD shown a healthier outlook. But as far as LeBron James, LeBron James only has really one thing left after the scoring title. I should say all-time scoring title. And it's really still in front of that. I mean, the scoring title, all-time scoring title is nice, but in the NBA, he's chasing Michael Jordan, and he needs at least a couple more titles in my book to really give himself that. I'm sitting at the table with him at least.
Yeah.
That's where that goes. I know it's not fair. Some people say it's not fair, Joe. Come on, you know. Bill Russell has 11. Jordan has 6. Why isn't Bill Russell the best? Well, you gotta look in within the context of that as well. Bill Russell played in an era where there was only 8 to 9 teams. I know he can't help that at the time, but I'm trying to put some perspective here too.
When I think of those Boston Celtics teams, it's more of a team effort. With Chicago, especially if you're around that time, especially when you create the Jordan rules, you know it's more essentially, even though Pippen was there, and of course everybody else that played a supporting role, the Paxsons, the Cartwrights, et cetera, it was essentially Michael Jordan that made those teams during the 1990s.
And I think we get lost in, if you weren't there watching it, you can't really argue who's better. You have to at least talk to those who actually watched and was coherent enough to know what they were watching. And what I saw was, I saw a player that his own team, his teammates were fearful. They were so scared they played better because of that. And The Last Dance proved it. Judd Bushler, Craig Hodges still kind of is hurt by some things that happened in that first three-peat. Steve Kerr had mentioned some things. Bill Cartwright. Jordan was in an era, and this is why it's difficult to compare eras and this argument, but it's there. We're talking about it because it's the constant discussion. You can't really compare any era, Bill Russell's era, Jordan's era, and even now, because there's just way too many variables that factor into everything. I was always arguing that Kobe being compared to Jordan is a little unfair too, because Kobe didn't come into a clean slate. He came into a championship contending team, and he was the first perimeter basketball player to come from high school to the NBA. He didn't play his first season. Del Harris did not play him for whatever reason. His second season, he didn't even start. So you can't really compare the careers. Jordan came out off and run, came out running. LeBron came out running. Kobe didn't really come out running. Kobe didn't play a full 82-game season as a starter until his fourth season. So it's hard to compare. It's hard to compare. Then you have someone who's in an era where players became more, because the NBA is the one league where the players have always been number one, no matter what you say. There's very little players playing at one moment. The player has always been number one. It's just that the players over the last 10 years have become more in control of their destiny, uh-huh. More control of their destination, right? Uh-huh. They've always had trades and demanded trades and been traded and all that. I think sometimes we were prisoners of the moment. But LeBron, what he did was, and this is something that it's interesting, I'm kind of mad at myself for not recognizing earlier, LeBron has never demanded a trade in his whole career. LeBron honored his contract and then left. I mean, what has he really done to warrant a, oh, well, he's this or he's that in terms of basketball? He's played his contract out, and as a free agent, he's taken advantage of what his next process is going to be. If you're looking at it from a business standpoint, a career standpoint in basketball, that's what that was created for, for them to have that choice. So you can't really use that against them. You can't say, oh, well, he's just got to go do this, this, and that. Well, that's not what it turned out to be. You can get mad at him for having the decision. I never really understood why. Who cares? Who did that affect, really, other than people just wanting to complain? And in this moment, he hasn't shown any signs that he wants to leave LA. Mm-hmm. He hasn't. I actually have heard the opposite. I've heard he really likes it in LA. And why wouldn't he? Why would he go somewhere else? Is he going to go back to Cleveland? Cleveland's going to have some free money coming next year, right? But why would Cleveland want him? You know, they have an up-and-coming young team. No matter what you say, no matter what you have, if you bring in a LeBron James, it's going to be LeBron's team. And is that a detriment to the next 5 years of your team? Very, very much so. It's very much so going to be. This is actually the perfect team for him. The situation it is in LA is actually perfect for LeBron because he does have AD. If AD should play healthy, he's going to have a guy there that's going to definitely give him a shot. And then if the Lakers can somehow harness something here with the Westbrook situation and bring in a Kyrie Irving or a Miles Turner and Hield, then at that point you can kind of start getting to that, okay, we made this mistake, now it's time we finally get out of this and let's try to put this team together so that it works for the main cogs, which is what AD and LeBron are. I had some discussions about the Miles Turner Hield thing. Hield coming by himself for Westbrook, I mean, any trade right now for Westbrook to me is a win.
Yeah.
The only issue is which trade will give them a shot at being a contender. That is what's up in the air. We don't know that. If it's just for Hield, then we go into the season going, it's probably not going to be a title contending team. If you get Miles Turner and he's healthy, now you have the perfect center to play with AD. Now, the current rumor I heard today has been some interest by the Knicks to trade Julius Randle for a package for Westbrook. Julius Randle is not the right fit with AD, but you still have to make that trade if you want to get out of the Westbrook situation. And then maybe you have Randle come off the bench. That's how, you know, we know what we're doing. We know what we're watching. We know basketball as observers, as fans, as analysts. We know what works and what doesn't. And those are the options that we have right now. And LeBron could not sign the extension and still come back after next year. So why would he commit if he's looking at it from a business standpoint? If he feels like he goes into next season and it's no hope for the following year being a title contending team, he'll have a choice to get out.
Yeah.
But I'm not taking anything away. If he signs it or not, I'm not looking at it like, oh, he's definitely gone or he's definitely staying. Obviously, if he signs the extension, he's staying. But I'm not looking at it from, oh, well, he's not coming back next year. It's probably more probable that that's the case. But if the Lakers end up competing, there will be likely a change of mind, I'm assuming.
This is Raphael from NBADraftJunkies.com. And you are listening to the Lakers Fast Break.
Check out what's been going on with the Pop Culture Cosmo Show and the PCC Multiverse.
I don't feel like that people have done that as much, especially with this international release.
You can get it out there right now.
I know you can get it out there, but it feels like this time last year, people have just been like, oh,
you
could
get
you go.
The
Here's
cell
a copy.
Phone version yeah. that was taped somewhere where it's like, you know, shell shaky, has some dude or some family that's walking right in front of you as they're finding their seat with the popcorn already in hand.
No,
you know?
Come on.
That,
really?
Yeah, that version is already available.
Yeah, but I mean, like,
with a mono sound. There you go.
Oh, God. Yeah, that's the worst part. You only get sound on the left ear, not the right ear.
I never like to put a girl at a time, family. Something like that. You can find that version already if you really want to. That's the Pop Culture Cosmo Show.
And the PCC Multiverse.
Catch our shows on Worldwide Radio 7 days a week and wherever you get your podcasts. Hey, Lakers fans. Looking for the best place to go for up-to-date news, information, original videos, articles, podcasts, opinion pieces, and discussions about the Los Angeles Lakers? Well, look no further than LakerHolics.com. With a legion of followers always there talking about everything Lakers and the NBA, there's no better place to go to share your fandom as the team heads toward another championship run. So stop by and be part of the conversation today at LakerHolics.com. Until the actual offer goes out, and if it's looked over by LeBron and he says no, if he's still upset in regards to this situation that's going on with Russell Westbrook, again, there's a whole bunch of variables here. We do not know his true feelings on the subject, but within a matter of days, in fact, 4 days to be exact, from when this actually gets heard by most people out there on the podcast world, that actually we will have a better idea whether or not, if he doesn't accept it, if he has issues with the way the Lakers are being run and the way that their offseason's going and the whole nine yards and the direction of the team. And we'll know if he has a big problem with it. I think he does. I think those rumors about supposedly that he has, a dislike over what's gone on with the situation of Russell Westbrook and the direction the team is headed, I know if I'm in his shoes, I would want more to be done. I would know that I'm not here for draft picks. I would want them to go ahead and do everything they can to go ahead and try to make this team better. And if it means including the draft picks, then go ahead and include the draft picks. Now, I'm looking at it on the other end, on the Lakers' end. If you give up those draft picks, that's the future for where the organization can go to. And you're already run dry on pretty much everywhere else. You've already cannot give out as any more draft picks than what you've already gone ahead and give out. The 27 and 29 are, that's all that's left as far as your available draft picks that you can trade. And to trade them now, so soon, 5 years before these draft picks take effect, I think that's a gamble. That's a big time gamble by the organization. And you better assume if you can get a Kyrie Irving in here and you team him up with LeBron James and an Anthony Davis, that you are able to go ahead and win a championship. Because if you don't, the future is not looking really good for the Laker organization. I'm just telling you, when they don't have any draft picks, any assets, they will have salary cap, because by then the new TV contract will be signed. There'll be a big fat check that everybody's going to get a bump up, whether they're going to do it. I'm assuming they're going to do it gradually, that they're going to go ahead and put it in as far as percentage installments, not like they did with the year that Kevin Durant was able to sign like a free agent where they did a big, huge bump up. I think they're just going to go ahead and make sure that they gradually increase the salary cap to a point where it's going to be something that so many teams, a lot of teams, can take advantage of instead of just one. Allen's here. He says, trade the picks to win now. If the season looks bleak, trade away the talent before the deadline to recover those picks, which may include AD. I'm just going to say right now, I'm leaning towards Joe in giving AD one more season. I'm going to give AD one more season. I think that coming in maybe a couple of weeks ago, I would say that I'm not going to be on that realm. I think I was going to go ahead and say, maybe you should trade him now because he's not proven to be anything reliable in the past 3-4 years. Maybe you should go ahead and try and trade him now. But if he's supposedly in the best shape of his life, if he's supposedly getting ready in the gym, I'm going to go ahead and see it at least one more year through. But if that's the case, please go ahead and make sure you trade him while you still got something available to do so. Just like LeBron. If it doesn't work out with LeBron, you need to trade him for assets right away. But if that's the case, go ahead and make the deal now. Make the deal now. Make the 27 to 29 pick now. But if it goes south real fast, please make sure you recover whatever you can.
While listening to you, I started, something started clicking in my head with the draft picks. You know, the NBA is different than, let's say, the NFL. I think I might have said this before. Lottery picks, top five picks are really what matter. I mean, there you can find gems, a Giannis, Kawhi Leonard. I don't really put Kobe in that spot because no one knew anything at that time because he was a straight out of high school player. But it's very rare to find a franchise player outside the top five typically that's going to make a difference, that's going to allow you to win a title. So let's look at Steph as another example. I think he was seventh overall, and then Clay was 11th. Draymond Green was a second-round pick. But draft position with those guys, I think – I don't think Steph, Clay, and Dre get enough credit for being selfless. I think that's one of the major talents that all three have together that help them win. It's not just the talent. It's the fact that they're unselfish. So it's hard to gauge what the value of the 27 or the 29 pick is. I would say, out of sheer principle, I'm not giving you an unprotected pick, even one unprotected pick, for a Miles Turner and a Hield, which has been rumored, right? Or they've said, we want two. But I'm assuming one of them is unprotected. The other one will likely be protected. Because I don't know what I'm getting either. Miles Turner has an injury history. Now, if Miles Turner was a 70, 75 a year player in his prime, then you got to go, okay, I might consider this. But Buddy Hield is a player that's overpaid for what he does, but when you have LeBron James on the team, that's the kind of player that makes the team win. That guy will hit an open shot. He will hit an open shot. There's a lot of factors in this, and it's hard to explain. Of course, you got to wait the Kyrie thing out. You can't get ahead of this. You got to wait to see, because Kyrie Irving, if he comes to the team with a healthy AD and a LeBron, you now start saying we have a shot at winning a title. You have to wait. That's why nothing's going on. Kevin Durant's situation has to be finalized, whether he ends up staying or whether he gets traded. That's when we're going to know what's next. If he stays, which if I'm the Nets, taking off my Laker glasses, I'm like, I'm not trading you. I'm not trading. I'm not getting anything of any close of any value. And that's it. But if they do, then it's almost guaranteed in my book that Kyrie's going to get dealt at that point. So we have to wait that out.
Let me ask you a question. Did you borrow those Laker glasses from Laker Tom? Because I always say he has the rose, the purple.
Well, Laker Tom's been a Laker fan since the early 70s. Is that correct?
Yeah, it was dealing with Wilt Chamberlain, I believe.
Okay,
so he tells a big story.
I always tell everyone my first memory of being a staunch Laker fan, even though I did know of the Lakers before, but like I was watching and I knew what was going on, was 1991 when I was 13 years old. Okay. That's when I started remembering. I was watching and I was engaged. 1991 finals was the one where I really kind of tipped over, where I really was involved and I understood what was going on. So I don't think so, G. I don't think my Laker glasses are tied to when they're on, I'm wearing them all the time. When they're not on, I gotta take them off for a second and say, all right, guys, you better clean up your act before I put these bits back on and back you up. It's all about backing your team up, right? So you can't veer off. If you veer off, you can't be that homer can't be that local homer announcer that just is not really telling you the truth for your team. And right now the glasses are a little off because they have to, in order to win a championship, they have to get something done here with Westbrook and hope that a couple other things can get tinkered in so that they can bring in the right guys for this team. It's going to be something I think we're going to find out here in the next few weeks.
Also here today is an outstanding new guest, guy who's been in our chat room now for a couple times now. He's asked to come on the air. Truly glad to have him part of the show. You got to check out his YouTube channel today. It's in honor of his own name. So you got to go ahead and check out the John McCallion channel today. It is John McCallion. John, great to have you here. I'm glad I sent you the correct link the third time around. I appreciate it. Had another interview on tap here later on Ric Flair's last match, but glad to have you here, my friend. Thank you so much for joining us on today's show. Your thoughts, though, on later this week, the important decisions that need to be made on August 4th on if or could or if not, whether or not that LeBron James will or will not accept this upcoming extension, and will the Lakers even offer it? Although I'm pretty sure that they will.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for having me on. And, you know, pleasure to be on with you, Gerald and Joe. And, you know, I've been watching you guys for a while now. So, you know, it's really cool to be on. And I'm a diehard Lakers fan. Got the Kobe poster in the background. The poster's from when, or the photo is from when, you know, they won the championship against Boston. And Kobe stood up on the announcer's table. I know that was his favorite championship for sure. Just because it was against Boston. But, yeah, glad to be on.
Indeed.
Yeah, exactly. In terms of LeBron and the Lakers upcoming, because I think August 4th is the first day that you can sign the extension, correct?
Yes.
I think it has to be for Kyrie, because if you trade for someone like Buddy Hield and Miles Turner, you know, those are decent players. But if you're LeBron, I think it's either Kyrie or bust. And the Nets know this, and that's why they're asking for both picks, both 2027 to 2029. And and also the rest of the roster hasn't been filled out. So that's where the challenge is. If you give two picks for Kyrie, then how are you going to fill out the rest of the roster? What is it going to look like? Is it going to look like last year where, you know, you have a bunch of old players who can only shoot threes, or, you know, are you able to get, you know, 3-and-D guys? And, you know, one of the things that we saw last season was the Lakers were missing wings. And they have really addressed that this season. And I think that's going to be a big challenge. How do you get to, in my opinion, I think it's a bust. Because without Kyrie, I think this team is, you know, isn't going to be able to compete for a championship. And I think with Buddy Hield, the Buddy Hield is a nice player, but if you also trade for Miles Turner is also, he's currently injured, I think, and he's also very injury prone. So I think if I'm LeBron, I'm not going to sign that extension without seeing Kyrie.
I think with this whole team, it's injury prone. I think when the health is probably the key factor here. And I appreciate your thoughts so much on this. And it's just the fact that, you know, when you talk about LeBron, he's had an injury history since he started up with the Lakers. AD, we know about his injury history. If you trade for Kyrie, Kyrie's never played lately. His average, I think, his whole average career is 55 games a season, which is not that great at all. So a lot of ifs have to go right in order for the Lakers to go ahead and get back to where they need to be in a championship format. Okay, if you do the trade, and you do the trade as far as giving the 27 to 29 picks, and you get Kyrie over here, if it goes south quickly, all I'm saying is you got to have the stones to go ahead and say, you know what, this has jumped off the rails. This doesn't look like it's going to go ahead and win us a championship. We need to trade these assets that we have right away because we have nothing left. You know, once you trade the 27 and 29 draft picks, you have absolutely zero left. Nobody wants THD. Nobody wants Kendrick Nunn, at least as far as a main package is concerned, maybe as a throw in here or there. But right now, both those guys have to prove themselves as well. So right now, if you trade the 27 and 29 first round picks and bring Kyrie on there, and if it goes south like it did this past season, you've just got to make sure you have the stones to correct your mistakes quickly, very quickly. Otherwise, it's going to hurt the Lakers for the rest of this decade. That's all I'm worried about. And that's I know that's understandable, but I'm like with Allen. You got to win now. I get that. I understand that. But if it's not looking like you're going to win now in a very hotly contested Western Conference, you've got a lot of issues there. Joe, I mean, share some thoughts on that, what John said, you know, maybe even what I said as well.
Yeah, there's – you have to wait out the Durant thing, and then you'll be able to kind of get a clearer idea of what you need to do to get the Kyrie or a package from somewhere else. The picks need to be protected regardless. I wouldn't send out an unprotected pick for a maybe chance of winning it all. Now, I know you still have every – I know every transaction is always going to be like that because you haven't won it yet. But even getting Kyrie isn't going to guarantee you a really good shot until you see what AD does. Because Kyrie isn't known as a defensive stalwart. He's known as someone who's kind of on his own time sometimes. We don't know if he's going to pull that 2 weeks in, a month in, 3 months in. We don't know that. And when you have three guys that are taking up 90% of your salary, now if one of them is out, now you're going to have a problem during the season on how you're going to win. It's just not a clear path either way. So why would you give up an unprotected pick and play Russian roulette with that? I wouldn't. I would send both if they're protected, at least top eight, at least the top eight. If they insist a top five, I might consider it. I might consider it. But at least protect it in some way. That way, if you really are terrible. In
what if it's top three?
Okay, let's look at the history of this. Up until a few years in this last decade, I don't think the Lakers ever cared about draft picks, at least not for at least almost 30 years. And I'm maybe because I'm so used to being a Laker fan for 31 years, I really never... Like you gotta have that. Like we had the second pick, the seventh pick. We had three second overall picks and a seventh pick that got us Randall, Ball, Ingram, and then Russell. Other than them being a package, some of them being in a package for AD, I'm not very impressed with those players from a next level consistent championship level thing. So that's the part where I will understand if someone's like, look, just forget about what we're doing in 27, 29. Let's just win now. There's some validity to that because that's pretty much how the Lakers have always done things. The issue now versus when it was before is draft picks are capital for a trade. If you don't have any first round picks, it's hard to get someone who says, I want to get out of this situation, I want to go to LA. That's the problem there too. It's not just, well, what if we miss out on a player in the draft in 27? What if we miss out someone in 29? Yeah, there's a little bit of that, but it's not likely that it's going to be impactful because I haven't seen it since, you could say, maybe Worthy in 83, 82, I should say. Who was the last first-round pick that was a Hall of Famer? Since then,
for the Lakers?
Mm-hmm.
That's hard to say.
He's the last.
We've had a lot of rotation. Yeah, we've had a lot of rotation.
He's had a lot. Yeah, because we've always been so talented that we've won championships in the 80s. We had a little lull in the 90s.
You could say Kobe Bryant.
Well, Kobe. See, the thing is, Kobe Bryant.
But that was a trade.
That whole 95, 97 window is a unique situation in the history of the NBA. High school players started coming out, even though they had come out before, it became a norm after Garnett came. And then Kobe being, again, a smaller player, which was always shunned at because every straight out of high school player before then was always a big, like a Moses Malone and Kevin Garnett. Kobe was the first perimeter guard to come out straight from high school to the NBA. And it set a precedent. I don't think a lot of people talk about that much about Kobe. The guy changed things, just like Steph Curry changed shooting in the NBA. Kobe changed the culture of the draft. And with that, now we're looking at a situation in this era that, do we give up capital for not only possibly drafting talent, but this is capital for a trade? And that, they're in a tough spot.
Yes.
That Russell Westbrook thing, it's no longer just about the season. The season's over.
It's like, the proverbial rock and a hard place right now.
It is beyond a rock and a hard place. They have to get lucky here. They have to have someone do him a favor. Rob is going to have someone do him a favor here in order for him to have a shot at not only trying to win a title, having a chance, but also not completely draining the future for the Lakers. And it seems like he cares, because it's likely he won't be there at that time anyways. Why should he care, right? Yeah. So then that's where Jeannie's spot comes and says, look, you're not doing this. Maybe Rob wants to do it. Jeannie's like, no. We're not giving up our 27, 29. You're not going to likely be here. I'm going to be stuck here, and I have to deal with this.
Wow, we're gonna.
It is tough. It is there. Sometimes in life, there's no answer.
It is a tough call. It's a tough call either which way. But if you win now, you have to sacrifice so much, because if you don't, you have LeBron James lurking right there as far as him not wanting to go ahead and continue his career with the Los Angeles Lakers. But John, I'm gonna leave the last bit of our show to you, my friend. I want to hear your thoughts again. Thank you so much for jumping on with us, but. Your thoughts? This is a big week for the Lakers. I mean, there's some hard decisions that have to be made. As Joe said, rock and hard place. Where do we go from here? What are the decisions that you're... Let's say you were running the Los Angeles Lakers right now. Let's say Jeannie put you in charge. What are you doing? What's the word? What is going to go ahead and be the best direction for this team in the short term going forward?
Yeah, absolutely, and thanks for having me on. And I honestly, I don't envy Rob Pelinka's position right now, because, if I was Rob Pelinka, I don't think I would have made that Westbrook trade to begin with. I think the Westbrook trade really crippled them in terms of, they didn't have to give up much. They gave up KCP and Kuzma, and you can argue whether or not that really makes a difference for them in the long run. But trading for Westbrook and now having to get rid of him, the other teams know that the Lakers. Or the Westbrook doesn't really fit with the Lakers, and the Lakers want to trade him. So I think that's already in itself a really hard place. And on top of that, you have to build out the rest of the team. And I think the only way, or in terms of what we've heard so far, whether it's Buddy Hield, the Miles Turner, or if you're Charlotte, you're trying to trade Gordon Hayward and Terry Rozier. I think the best option in terms of trade candidates is Kyrie Irving, and then you have to somehow also. If I was Rob, I would make the trade for Kyrie Irving, but I also, if I had to, I would include both picks as well, because the thing is, the Lakers do have other trade assets, but they can't trade them at right now, because the trade for Anthony Davis, they had to do a couple pick swaps, and so they're gonna have trades, or they're gonna have picks rather, 25, 6, and 8, I believe 28. So they're gonna have assets, they just can't trade them right now. So I would make the trade for Kyrie Irving, and I'll try to get someone like Seth Curry, Royce O'Neal, or even perhaps Joe Harris. I know he's been a little bit injured, but if healthy, and we're gonna be betting for a lot of people to be healthy, whether it's AD, LeBron, Kyrie. So you kind of you have to get really lucky in terms of health. So me personally, if I was running that team, I would make the trade for Kyrie. And I would try to get a couple of players with that, because.
But would you go all the way in it? Would you give the 27 to 29? Because again, because of the Anthony Davis trade, you've given up all your future assets because of pick swaps, things of that nature. The Lakers have no control of their, let's say, the even number drafts. As far as they're concerned, you have the 24 that's gone. You've got then again after that, the 27 and 29. Those are the ones up in question right now. you're allowed to trade those. But if those are gone, that's pretty much the entire rest of the decade. You have no control over your drafts. Only when you have a draft like next year in 23, you have control over that. Only in those years, because of the Ted Stepien rule, you're pretty much essentially done with trading first round picks for the rest of the decade. Unless you go ahead and do an AD trade or a LeBron James trade down the line where you get some of it back.
Yeah, honestly, I don't know what type of trade value AD has being injury prone. I know some people will, you know, will be trading, you know, a few picks and stuff, but especially LeBron up there in age, I don't know what their trade market is right now. But also at the same time, I think the Lakers have to pick a lane, or Rob has to pick a lane. It's like, do you want to win now? Do you truly want to win now? Or do you want to, you know, save your assets for the future? And I think they're trying to do both right now, because they're saying, hey, we want to win now by trading for Kyrie with one pick. We also want to have cap space, you know, in a year from now. And I think they really have to make a decision, because the thing with LeBron is that, you know, you could tell he wants to win another championship, but I don't know if he really wants to win another championship. I think for him, he wants to pass Kareem right now in a Lakers jersey and, you know, break his scoring record. So if I'm Rob, I got to make a decision, because it seems like he's trying to do too many things at once, and I think that's why we're seeing, you know, him trying to do a little bit of this, a little bit of that, because one of the things that we've heard, you know, from, you know, coming from someone from the public, is that they're trying to trade for Kyrie, but they don't want to take on Joe Harris' contract, because it's a two-year contract, because they want to, you know, they want to have a clean slate in 23-24 season. So I think they just have to pick a lane, you know, figure out what it is that you want to do and go all in on that.
You know, John, you know, Joe, it just seems to me, since I'm here in Vegas, I see the what's going on this recently in, it's no longer in the Rio Hotel and Casino, but the World Series of Poker has been happening and going on recently. And it just seems to me like this, you can compare the LeBron situation coming up this week as a high stakes poker game. Who's going to flinch first? Who's going to bat an eye? Because not only does Rob have to play that high stakes poker game with LeBron, but also Brooklyn, possibly Indiana, whoever he's trying to go ahead and get assets from, because right now nobody seems to be going ahead and just, you know, just batting an eye just yet, because right now it's just everybody's just trying to play their hand out as is. But Joe, I'm telling you, my friend, it's going to be a very interesting week nonetheless.
Well, I'll be in Vegas to see you this weekend.
And I'll be actually moving away by the end of this week. No, I'm kidding.
I'll take your house.
It's a nice house. Yes.
Is it really?
Yeah, that's okay. Where do you live?
In Henderson?
No, just outside of Henderson.
Oh, okay. Anyways.
The price goes up by 20% just for that name, Henderson. And even really? 30% more for just the name Summerlin. I'm kidding. It's a joke. It's an inside joke here in Las Vegas.
That one.
Yeah, flew right over his head.
Yeah, you got to be a local to understand it.
That was too dry for me. The predicament is you have to wait. That's the predicament now. You can't. This is not something you want to make the first call at, because you really can't. And Brooklyn can't either. There's too many working parts for that Durant trade should it go through. And they're not gonna jeopardize that, because Kyrie wants, I know he says he wants to stay, but because they don't want Kyrie, let's say. It's more of them.
Yeah.
We have to wait, and I don't think they give two dumps about LeBron's extension on August 4th.
Yeah.
What I think is going to happen though in the next few weeks is there's gonna be a decision made by Brooklyn on whether they're actually going to trade Durant or tell him, look, we're not trading you.
Yeah.
That's what I think is going to be the ultimate decision at the next few weeks. There has to be some kind of closure there. You're getting, let's say they make a decision in the middle of August. You now have a month for training camp, and you need to start focus. And you're getting Ben Simmons back, I think. And Kyrie has said he wants to stay for another year. You bring back Durant, and Steve Nash is such a nice guy. Maybe you have a shot to maybe do something. That's going to be the question.
It's going to be a big question indeed. I mean, a lot of things have to play out.
I'd rather risk that. I'd rather risk, if I'm sitting, if I'm, is it Sean Marks? If I'm Sean Marks, I talk to the owner and say, look, if we don't get the deal we want, we ride it one more year. At the very least, Kyrie can walk away after next year. Maybe we get somebody else that could play. We get a chance to see how Ben plays. And you go from there. But if you gut, if you trade Durant now and then trade Kyrie, you know for sure you're rebuilding. A team has to – you're going to have to take just piles of draft picks. And a team out there needs to say, we're going to throw you every draft pick conceivable, like Minnesota did to Utah. And Brooklyn's going to have to say, okay, we made that terrible trade with Boston and lost all those draft picks. Let's make up for it now and build around Ben Simmons. I mean, it's tough. It's a tough thing. We don't know that. The one thing that has changed in the NBA is I've never seen players that aren't playing. I think that's the only negative in all this. The player movement and player decision making, that's part of the business here. They should have that freedom. What I don't like that's happened in the last few years is this: I'm not playing. And they haven't really solved that thing. Oh, I'm not playing. I'm not playing because of whatever. I'm not playing because my feelings are hurt, because I don't want to take a vaccine or whatever. I mean, I don't remember ever seeing a player deciding not to play a half a season or a full season because there seems to be some kind of mental block somewhere for whatever reason. I think Adam Silver needs to figure out how he's going to handle that in the next CBA. That is what's holding all this, is the unknown of a player, whether he was going to decide to play or not. It's a weird position to be in.
It is definitely a weird position to be in, but not only you've got Rob Pelinka, you've got Sean Marks, you've also got what's going on with Utah, with Danny Ainge trying to go ahead and get as much as he can back for Donovan Mitchell. Could he be going to the Knicks? That's been up in the air now for almost a couple weeks now. So that's even in question now. So you've got a lot of people playing high stakes poker. Who's going to be bluffing? Who's going to flinch first? We'll wait and see, but it all starts for the Lakers on April the 4th, and we will get a better idea come this week and this weekend whether or not the future for LeBron James looks bright in Lakerland or looks kind of murky indeed. But we'll show you. We'll go ahead and report on it. We'll go ahead and talk about it. We'll go ahead and do everything we can to go ahead and give you the inside scoop on what's going on with the Lakers right here at the Lakers Fast Break. But before we head on out, John, I know subscribing to the YouTube channel, I always say it here, please go ahead and subscribe today, but I think you've got a YouTube channel of your own right now. You can go ahead and pitch it, my friend. Where can people check you out on YouTube?
Yeah, absolutely. You can just find me by looking up my name, John McHalion, on YouTube. The YouTube channel is mainly focused on motivation in terms of, you know, setting up a daily routine and having a structure, so it's a little bit different than talking about sports. But yeah, I know that one of the big things that, you know, I've talked about people is that, hey, you know, they want to see people making more motivational videos. I'm actually in the process of, you know, trying to lose about 130 pounds. So I'm documenting that journey as well. And also a big part of the community are DoorDash drivers and Uber drivers who are, you know, either doing it, you know, part-time or full-time to make, you know, make a decent living. So we kind of all come together and share opinions. And, you know, every time I stream, we always have a great time. So it's a lot of fun with a lot of, you know, helpful information. So definitely check it out.
Well, I hope you are as inspirational to your viewers as Joe Soro is to ours. Indeed, the Nighthawks. There you go. John, I'm looking forward to hearing more of your thoughts in the coming days and weeks right here at the Lakers Fast Break.
Appreciate
it, Joe. You're always welcome as well. You know, my friend, you'll crash the door anyways. You'll be in the comments. Even when you're not on, you say you can't make it, you're always there. So any last word from you guys before we head on out?
Joe. Expect something to move this week, whether it's Donovan Mitchell, whether it's Durant. I think something's going to come down this week. It's you're creeping up on training camp. Your August will be. That's why I said on the Nighthawks show gee, that August is never really a dead month, at least for people that are doing transactions that are team changing in July, because there's a lot more discussions, there's a lot more banter in August. Where it starts to die out is around September. Then at that point, people are starting to wrap up to training camp, and then training camp starts, and then we're ready to start seeing the regular season start. And NBA does still take a back seat to the NFL in October, November, and then even first couple weeks of December, and then it starts to get interesting at the end of December, and January, February is back and forth. But, you know, once football ends, then the NBA kind of takes over from there, especially during the All-Star break and trade deadline. All going to be good avenues for us to continue to talk Laker NBA news. And my hope is I just want the Westbrook thing to be done. I'm 50-50 on whether it's going to produce a title contender or not. And I've kind of come to grips to the fact that it might go either way, and we're just going to have to deal with it and be fine with it at that point. So that's it. That's where I stand on that.
John, any last words before we head on out?
Yeah, I think I have faith in Rob. I think he's doing the right thing. You know, we're not seeing too many leaks coming out, you know, out of the Lakers front office, unlike Brooklyn, where, you know, it seems like they're making a different decision every day. But yeah, just stay patient. And, you know, like Joe, I think something's going to happen sooner rather than later. So, you know, just sit tight and, you know, let's see what happens.
I will tell you what, you have a lot more faith in Rob than I do. And that is to be admirable to you, my friend. Also to Joe. Appreciate both you guys coming on the air. I, of course, am not that have much faith in Rob. Sorry. Just, you know, the Russell Westbrook trade kind of did it for me. That was the final straw. So if you didn't have that type of player evaluation and seeing what Russell Westbrook would do for your team, and then you go ahead and get him, and yeah, it fell down.
You know, Rob is the ultimate decision maker in that, but he did have an assist and a push from LeBron, and I'm looking
also
at
the over 30 crowd, the senior citizen crowd. I think getting all that entire crew there was kind of a misstep.
Well, and if LeBron is going to be fair here, I think it would be nice of him, because he pushed it, to sign the extension as a, I'm sorry, I sort of made you do that. I will now commit another year and give you a chance. I think that would be the honorable thing to do. I don't think anybody would disagree.
Well, we'll see how nice he is later this week. So we'll see indeed. But yeah, for all the news and latest information right here, you just head on over to the Lakers Fast Break. Go ahead and stop by our Facebook page, Lakers Fast Break, and like that today. But also as well, get a hold of us right here by subscribing on YouTube or Twitch right there at Lakers Fast Break. Again, we truly appreciate all the new subscribers that we've gotten the past few days. Appreciate the fact that so many tens of thousands of views that we have already, and also thousands of hours in the book. Just unbelievable that you guys have checked us out that long. Can't believe you've heard me that much, but I just truly appreciate it. But we will be back. I'm looking forward to going ahead and hearing from Sean Grice, trying to finally nail the madman down as far as getting him over here from Toronto, trying to work that out. I know his technical difficulties have not been the best, but we're going to try and see if we can nail down an episode with him coming up this week. Tuesdays with Laker Tom. Looking forward to see if I get a chat with the old man coming up here on Tuesday. And then, of course, group chat on Thursday. Looking forward to that as well. But if anything breaks, we'll obviously go ahead and cut in for that as well. But looking forward to hearing everyone's thoughts continuously in the chat. And going forward, looking forward to seeing what happens. And we'll report it on for you right here at the Lakers Fast Break Podcast.